And you're listening to the Saturday Afternoon Show. I'm Tom Rowe, and we are here for the next 2 hours with current Wave Farm artist in residence, Mark Vernon, and he's going to present Audiology for Beginners, a self-assessment radio hearing test. Mark, welcome to the Wave Farm.
Thanks. Hi.
How are you doing? How have you been doing this week, I guess, is the question.
Good. Yeah, it's been a very productive week. I've been hard at it, kind of working away.
You've been testing your hearing or hearing your testing?
Yes, my hearing's just about been tested to the limit, I think, actually, in the last week.
But. And do you hear all right? Or, I've always heard and feared there's a setting on my one audio software that I've worked with that's like a 40-year-old male hearing that I guess you lose some sort of frequency hearing or I think yeah. I recently went to a doctor and they told me it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was.
I mean one of the more extreme ones that you'll hear in the program is the mosquito test tone, which is a very high frequency that only teenagers can hear.
And don't they use that in England to keep kids away from the 7-Elevens?
They do, yeah. So, yeah, it's a good deterrent for loitering youths.
What led you to testing sound? Testing hearing?
Well, I mean, it's an idea I had some time ago, really, and I guess there are other projects that I've worked on that have kind of led me to this as well. A few years ago, I produced a piece as a radio test signal, which was compiled from all my recordings of people talking into mics, doing mic tests, testing, 1, 2, 3. So it was just this kind of collage of voices that played on a loop. And more recently, I've created a 5.1 cinema surround test for the Tyneside Cinema in Newcastle. So it has kind of motion graphic elements, and it's kind of based on the actual tests that the projectionists used to test out the system before they screen the films.
And what was that we just heard when we came in?
So what we just heard, well, I mean, just to give it a bit of context, for 2 years, I mean, I finished 6 months ago. I was artist in residence at Forth Valley Royal Hospital in Larbert in Scotland. And it was a digital arts residency, and the main thrust of the work was working with the hospital radio station.
The hospital had its own radio station?
Yes, yeah. I don't know if that's common here, but it's quite common in the UK anyway that hospitals do have their own stations. And, you know, a lot of them were kind of RSL, kind of short.
Well, I don't think here in the United States, the schools sometimes have radio stations. And I know the low-power FM station in Great Barrington has its antenna on top of a hospital building, but the hospitals themselves, I don't know of any case in the United States that has a radio station in it.
Well, yes. I mean, they're very common. They're usually run by volunteers. And, you know, I mean, there's some really dedicated people kind of working on hospital radio. But it was my...
Are they very low power, mainly for the patients there?
They are, but actually, this is a kind of new mega hospital where I was working, and it's all digital, so the patients receive the radio through their bedside monitors, where they can also get TV and other commercial radio stations and things as well. So there's a bit of competition there, really, for them to work against.
So that piece was culled from your time spent there?
Well, as part of the residency, I took the opportunity to make recordings in a lot of different hospital departments. I have a huge interest in field recordings and sounds, and it was just an incredibly sound-rich environment. So from these recordings, I compiled them and put together a sound effects record. You know, in the same vein as kind of sound effects library records you used to get for amateur dramatics and home movies, this kind of thing. But it was specifically hospital sounds.
And I guess sort of similar to the, didn't Matmos have a record a couple of records ago where they made everything from the sounds of surgery or something?
I think it was plastic surgery.
So I guess it's similar on that. I mean, it's different projects, obviously, but a similar interest in the septic sounds of hospitals.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the thing is these were unprocessed sounds, but I did actually use the sounds and create things with them as well. So maybe we should move on to that next. So from recordings I made in the radiology department, you know, mostly X-rays and MRI scans and CAT scans and this kind of thing, I created a composition which I got made into 7-inch records, X-ray records, that you can actually, they're almost like flexi discs that you can see through. And the idea came about from basically bootleg records in the kind of Soviet Russia, where Western music was banned. The cheapest material they could get to actually bootleg records onto was old X-rays. So you'd get these kind of, you know, kind of rock and roll records and things actually on an X-ray of somebody's hand or somebody's skull. They were just one-sided. So the idea came to compose something from the sounds of radiology and make it into an X-ray record.
Thank you.
Are you okay there? Are you all right?
And you're tuned into the Saturday Afternoon Show today with Mark Vernon, testing your hearing. And what were we testing there, Mark?
Well, that was a variety of radiology equipment, mostly x-rays and MRI scanners, composed into a kind of soundscape, I guess.
All right. And why do you think hospitals sound so interesting? Is it because of the sterility and it's like a library? And so when a noise happens, it's kind of special?
I guess so. I mean, you know, they're pretty high-tech places as well. There's a lot of kind of automated equipment I discovered as well. That particular hospital, you know, they have a robotic pharmacy. You know, there's robots that move around selecting all the tablets, kind of packaging them up. And, you know, there's robots in the basement that take the dirty laundry and take the meals kind of to different wards and things. And some of the other equipment, like the very first sound that was played, the phaco emulsifier, I mean, that's used in cataract surgery. But that sound is just, you know, it sounds like just avant-garde experimental electronic music. You know, it's quite a weird sound because it has the rising and falling tones, which are to let the surgeon know how much suction he's using, because he can't be looking at a kind of monitor while he's doing it. So it's got this kind of ascending and descending beat.
So sound is actually important to doctors. I never thought of it in that way, in that they have to be looking at the patient and the wound or whatever they're operating on, but they need to get some other information. So sometimes that information comes through sound.
Very much so. Yes. Yeah. And I guess the thing that's lead on to the next piece that I want to play, you know, as a patient who's stayed in hospitals, you find that they're actually incredibly noisy places. You know, you think that they should be quiet and restful for people who are sick, but actually they're so busy and there's so much going on, for even late at night as well. It can be a very difficult place to sleep. So one of the things that I wanted to make for the hospital radio station was something for people who can't sleep late at night.
A tonic, a sonic tonic.
Yeah, yeah. So I had this idea to create a piece that was, well, a sonic survey of soothing sounds is how I've described it. It's called the Tonic Garden. And basically I spoke to staff and patients about the sounds that they found relaxing or calming, and interviewed them while they were describing these sounds. And partially from my own collection of field recordings and sounds that I went out and gathered on their request, I kind of I composed this soundscape. And it also has quite ambient electronic music composed by myself and Ian Middleton. So maybe we should hear a little bit of that. It should be very restful.
Test our ears.
I think it's the lull of the sea, the settle down, the movement of the sea. I think it's very, very poignant to me.
The waves, when it's quite relaxing, quite soothing, quite relaxing.
I think it's just when you're sitting, lying beside it, and you just hear the rhythmic motion of the waves coming in and out, and it just relaxes you, and you feel the tension leave your body, that kind of thing.
When I hear that sound, I'm taken back to a time in my life when I was very happy. So it's very soothing, and it's very much, I feel very at peace.
reminders of my childhood because I spent most of my life living abroad in lovely hot countries, and the sound of the waves hitting the beach is always very good.
I think the noise of the ocean is quite repetitive, and I think that's quite soothing because it's a constant sound in it. Backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards.
It just takes your mind off everything.
When I get very stressed, I've got all these thousands of thoughts going on in my head, and the sound of the sea always makes that sort of dissipate so that I can focus on one thing, or just clear my mind, which is quite difficult for me to do. It allows me to, like, reclaim clarity.
Me feel, you know, that I'm just a little pinprick on this earth, and the sea so great that the sea is something of contrasts. It can be there as a friend, or it can be there as a deadly enemy.
If you have that kind of washing and shaking, quite like that.
There was just something about the waves, I don't know why. It's the first thing that comes to my mind anyway that's really relaxing.
Down the foreshore in Bowness. Just don't know if it makes you tired or relaxed or.
And I just love the sound of the water where you can just hear it lapping up.
Lapping up against the shore.
But there's nothing else, don't hear anything else but the sound of the water, and it's just so calming. It seems to just take all away my, you know, tenseness, everything. And I always feel better when I've been there.
All your muscles seem to relax. It's soothing, you know.
It's quite hard to describe the sound that just releases something in me, and it just makes me want to stay there forever. I just love it.
Just a nice.
Just go, either fall asleep or I just lie there and just go in another world. That's brilliant.
Wind in the background as well.
You're listening to The Tonic Garden, a sonic survey of soothing sounds.
Interested in tape recording? Then join the Derby Tape Recording Club. For further particulars, contact Mr. A. Handy, telephone 49513.
You got all edges off now?
Yes.
Oh, yes. And how long do they play for?
And you're listening to the Saturday Afternoon Show on Audio Hearing Test, coming up next hour from Mark Vernon. And we're talking to Mark Vernon after his week-long stay at the Wave Farm Study Center. And what was that we just heard, Mark?
That was an advert from the Derby Tape Recording Club. It was one of many tape recording clubs in the UK and actually all over Europe, actually, in the 50s and 60s. And these were kind of clubs where amateurs would get together with their reel-to-reel tape recorders, and they'd record sounds, they'd kind of make sound quizzes for each other and send them to other clubs. And they'd go around recording the sounds around them, you know, whatever interested them, really, from kind of church choirs to kind of light railway stations, fire stations, carnivals.
The occasional fates. Blues musician.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, actually, some of the things that they recorded and documented at that time. And you know, there's something really kind of naive and charming about them. You know, it's people first getting to grips with recording technology. You know, it's when recorders first became affordable to the everyday person, really.
And people thought about sound, I'm sure, maybe for the first time, or definitely in a different way, or more when they're dealing with something like a tape recorder.
Very much so, and you know that you hear it actually in their voices. There's this awareness of themselves. They change the way that they speak. They put on their best voice. You know, they're kind of trying to speak in proper Queen's English, and you know, they're putting additional H's into words that don't have H's to sound posher. But it's really very sweet as well. But you know, they also conducted a lot of experiments as well. I mean, they played around a lot with tape. You know, they managed to make stereo recordings using two mono tape recorders, this kind of rough brick stereo method. And, you know, they were always tinkering. They managed to sync cine film to reel-to-reel tape. And
how did they even realize they needed stereo? Is that something people immediately realized, that you had two ears and you needed to hear things in, what I mean?
I mean, I guess so. There was a whole network, the British Federation of Tape Recordists, of tape recording clubs. And, you know, they were all united with this. They had news bulletin tapes that were sent around to the different clubs. And they had guest speakers who would come and demonstrate these kind of things. So they would want to try them out themselves, naturally. And like I say, there were clubs all over the UK. That was the Derby Tape Recording Club. I'm actually from Derby, so I have a particular fondness for those. There's also a lot of recordings I have are from the Leicester Tape Recording Club as well. Maybe we should hear a little bit of that now.
All right.
So without further ado, let's join the tape now, and you'll hear what's going on.
Right now, are we on? Right, 1, 2, 3...
So without further ado, let's join the tape now, and you'll hear what's going on.
Right now, are we on? Right, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, we're on, yes, right now. Would you like to say a few words, Gertie? That's right, in there, that's right. Speak up then.
This is Leicester Tape Recording Club.
I should like to have a few words onto this tape, which will be sent all around the country.
So what do I want? Line out. Don't be like that. Well, at least it shows we've got some output somewhere. Let's have a listen. I'll just wind this on, find something suitable. Whoops. Sorry about that, folks. Now then. Very low.
I see. You, well, did you hear that noise just a few moments ago? To learn to work a tape recorder takes probably 15 minutes. To always make it record something worthwhile takes 15 decades. This may sound rather discouraging, but fear not. Here tape comes into its own once more. For, as you probably know already, a magnetic recording can be erased, and a tape magnetic recording can be edited. Amazing effects can be achieved at comparatively little expense. You can make yourself sound as though you're speaking this end or the other end of a telephone. And that's about it. If you want to know how to increase the versatility of your tape recorder, don't hesitate to ask now. But why not go on better? Join us.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. That's what we'd like to do on TTT. How about letting us hear about the equipment you use, such as tape recorders, decks, microphones, amplifiers, speakers, etc. I'm sure other members would be interested. Dig out those trick recordings or unusual sound effects so that we may all listen to them. I myself would be willing to travel to other members' homes and record an interview for inclusion on T2T. So how about it? As this idea is mine, I suppose it's only fair for me to start the series.
As you can see, I've now got two microphones here, giving me total access to either the right or left-hand channels. Now moving into a central position, you realise now that I can either make my voice appear to come from the right or from the left in rapid succession, i.e. Right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, and so on. I don't know whether I can make the sound of a person gradually walking across the room. Let's see if we can do it. From left to right. And there he goes out of that side of the room. We haven't tried that one before.
This tape was recorded by members of the Leicester Tape Recording Club.
And we are getting our ears cleaned and ready for testing next hour with Mark Vernon, who's here, and playing some recordings from what tape recording club was that?
The Leicester Tape Recording Club, that one was.
And these were many recording clubs across the country. And were they here in the States too, do you know?
I don't know. I'd be really interested to find out. I mean, I know that there were clubs actually in Australia as far as there. So I don't see why there wouldn't have been.
And this was in the 50s and 60s when reel-to-reels were...
Yeah, I mean, they most of the clubs died out in the 70s when, well...
When the cassette, I guess, and yes. The 8-track and the cassette were killed those formats.
And, you know, a lot of the clubs had attachments with cine film clubs as well. A lot of members were in both. And then when video came in...
A lot of the same people took 8mm and 16mm films as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that temperament, that kind of lifestyle there.
Yeah. And, you know, they were a dedicated bunch, really, as well. You know, they were kind of breaking new ground in their own way.
Well, and we're thankful today. I mean, we get so much more information about the era from watching films from that time, you know, in different countries and different places. You can get a lot more information than you can from the normal news outlets or the propaganda or whatever.
Well, that's the thing. It's almost like a ready-made oral history archive. You know, there's people, there's accents that are kind of not represented, really, that aren't recorded, you know, because really on mainstream media at the time, it was the BBC. It was only kind of upper-class English voices that were heard. So it's quite an amazing record of, you know, the everyday man in that sense. And the first batch of these recordings I just found at a car boot sale. Do you have car boot sales here?
We don't call them that, but they're called either...
Trunk sale?
Sometimes that term is used, the garage sale, because we have garages, or a stoop sale in the city for the sidewalk sale, or a yard sale. A lot up here, people have yards, and you can lay your stuff out on yards. So the similar thing, and it's a great place to find reel-to-reel tapes, yes.
Yeah. And I mean, that was the thing. I was just buying a recorder and a lady came after me with this bag of tapes and said, I may as well have those as well. And it turned out to be this whole archive of the one man, Bill Howard's, you know, tape recordings of his life. You know, there's 30 or 40 years of life recorded there, really, which is quite incredible. So I went on to make these into a series of programs, first of all for Resonance FM and then for BBC Radio 4. And then after that, other members from other clubs got in touch and gave me their tapes. So that's where the Leicester Tape Recording Club series came from as well.
Well, that's great. And so you've got a couple more things you're going to squeeze in this hour. You're previewing or you're showing off some of these different works that have either influenced you or have you worked with. And then next hour we're going to have a hearing test on the radio. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, actually, maybe I should say just a little bit about that in advance. You know, the idea for the hearing test really came about from having a hearing test and hearing these electronic sounds and looking online at different hearing tests you could do with the kind of masks over voices and things. And you know, to me, these were like the white noise masks and the electronic sign tones are the building blocks of electronic music, really. So that got me very interested in that. But anyway, we should move on. Maybe the next thing to speak about is a project that's been going for many years now with my friend Barry Burns, Vernon and Burns. So together we perform live as a duo. We do live radio plays in front of an audience and make records and other performances.
You always end with Goodnight Gracie?
No, we don't. We don't.
Or say Goodnight Gracie.
We should. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a real variety of interests that come together in that kind of music concrete and music hall and all sorts of things. We're going to do cover versions of old music hall songs. And there's usually a humorous element to it as well. The piece I want to play an excerpt from is called Vernon and Burns Meet the Bride of Liechtenstein, which started out as a performance piece where Barry is reading from his collection of pulp horror comics that he amassed as a teenager. And I'm creating a kind of backdrop to these, atmospheric backdrop to these readings. But this is kind of a studio version of it, so we kind of worked on it afterwards. So maybe play a little bit from this.
Joe's eyes glow in the dark. His lips, his body quiver with the need to kill. He is consumed with his need. His every thought, his every feeling focus on this one desire. To kill the man coming toward him. So bad, it's like a taste in my mouth. More than anything I've ever wanted in my whole life, I want to see him dead at my feet. The monster has finally revived, and once again he finds himself locked within the ghastly body he has inhabited and hated for so many long centuries. Rage fills him, and his first instinct is murder. The murder of Derek McDowell, who stole an innocent trapeze artist's body for the purpose of his mad revenge, and who now dies in that body, bereft of vengeance or peace. God, what's that dog eating? It's a human arm. Don't be absurd. It's just the meat's tattered edges, which give the illusion of fingers. Sand from the shores of the waterless sea, moss from the tail of a barking tree, ears that hear the music of morning's knell, then a tuft of hair from the mystic crow. Pound them all to powder and mix them well. Incredible! Morning dew filled the holes in some of those boulders, threw them off balance, and started rolling them down that metallic slope. In doing so, they produce music-like notes. The music of dawn. And the ears that have heard that music are those strange plants. I was, you know, noodling around one day, and I discovered I could make bad guys follow my sound. Like an accident, you know?
This is ungood, unnice, unnifty. You don't appreciate me. I'm going to get even. Not only with Greenville, but with the whole world. I'm going to blow a way out sound that'll bring crooks. Yeah.
The eerie music rises into the darkness, and in a fashion we can't begin to understand, and we won't even try. It penetrates the ever-quiet depths of space, luring from the heart of the universe an alien spacecraft which plunges toward the big blue marble that is our Earth. Whoosh! Discover the hidden secrets of nature's most exotic and mysterious houseplant, the Venus flytrap. See how it lures, traps, eats, and digests insects up to 20 times its size. Learn how you can actually train it with a pencil to perform only for you. Feed it raw hamburger from your hand. Experiment with it at home or school. Turn apples into shrunken heads with the Shrunken Head, trademark, Apple Sculpture Kit. Before you know it, you'll have shrunken heads, trademark, hanging from your belt or around your neck. Buy your kit now and get a head start on your friends. Having a shrunken head, trademark, is like having Halloween all year round. You'll find Shrunken Head, trademark, Apple Sculpture Kits wherever toys and crafts are sold.
And we are tuned into the Saturday afternoon show on WGXC today with Mark Vernon, who is going to give us an audio hearing test next hour. And we just heard a bit of his duo, Vernon and Burns.
That's right. Yeah, we probably should have saved that for Halloween, actually.
Well, we can revisit it then. but we have one last, we're going to try to fit in one last track. And what is that?
This is an excerpt from a broadcast and publication called Hairwaves. So it was kind of CD and radio station. It was a one-day radio station in Glasgow. And the theme of it was hair in all kind of aspects. I mean, if you could see me, you could realise that I don't have that great an interest in hair generally. But
this is a station that could make your hair stand on end.
I think it could. But, you know, we tried to look at it from kind of different angles. So we were bringing in psychic barbers and pet groomers and kind of all sorts of things to create this kind of day-long radio broadcast that was targeted at hairdressers, barbers, salons, you know, within the broadcast radius. So this was a collaborative project with Zoe Irvin, I should say, as well. So without further ado, we'll just play a little bit of this.
Oh. And that'll lead us to the news, and then we'll be back to hear the audio hearing test next hour, so stay tuned.
Dark brown.
Brown, dark brown.
Dark brown. With flakes of grey, unfortunately.
Kind of a mid to dark brown.
I suppose a mousy brown.
Brown, dark brown. Brown.
With flakes of grey, unfortunately.
Hello.
mousy brown.
Light brown.
Blondie brown.
And we're back on the Saturday afternoon show with Mark Vernon, who is about to test our hearing. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So audiology for beginners is, well, the basic premise of the idea was to create a hearing test for over the air on the radio that people could take. And
do you need a number two pencil for this?
Actually, a pencil and paper would probably be quite handy for some of the tests. I mean, as well as the test, there's kind of documentary elements worked into it, with the kind of interviews that I did with audiologists, and there are some fictionalized elements as well that you may be able to spot or you may not. We'll have to see. But yes, I mean, like I was saying earlier, the idea really came from kind of listening to these kind of different hearing tests and the aesthetics of them, and kind of realizing that they had a lot in common with electronic music. So a lot of what I've done is played around with these sine tones and these kind of white noise generators to kind of create kind of a backdrop to the tests as well.
And is it safe to operate a motor vehicle while you're listening to this test?
Yes, but yeah, just be warned, there are a few loud sounds in there that could give you a bit of a surprise.
All right. Anything else you need to set things up?
No. I think that's it. Just, it says it all within the program, really. So I think we'll...
All right. Audiology for Beginners, a self-assessment radio hearing test from Mark Vernon.
Welcome to Audiology for Beginners. The aim of this program is to provide a practical self-assessment hearing examination that you can easily conduct yourself at home just by following the instructions and writing down a few notes. In consultation with several leading audiologists and the Scottish Institute of Sonology, we have devised this simple but effective series of tests. This is the world's first radio hearing test and the most comprehensive over-the-air self-assessment test available at this time. Firstly, we need to check your listening setup at home. There will be differences depending on whether you are listening on a home stereo, a single speaker mono wireless set, or headphones. And some adjustments will be necessary for all of these. Ideally, use headphones plugged into your radio set. Alternatively, well-placed stereo speakers will also work well, so long as you ensure that you place yourself at an equal distance between the two speakers. A mono wireless set will work for some of the basic tests, wow, but is of limited use when it comes to the stereophonic hearing
foot
exams.
Tree. Ship. Comb.
First of all, please ensure that your headphones are on correctly by checking the words right and left on the earpieces.
Ear.
It is also important to check that your speakers are wired correctly.
Comb.
Let's check this now. You should now hear my voice coming from your left speaker.
Lead. Ship.
My voice should now be coming from the right speaker. Although these over-the-air hearing tests have been carefully designed, they are not a substitute for a proper...
Advances in technology have moved many tests from the medical setting to the home. At-home tests provide many benefits, including convenience and cost savings. Until now, there have been no accurate, self-administered hearing tests available. It is impossible to control the output of various sound sources or earphones used in the test.
In trying to have an over-the-air waves hearing test, you would have to have a good understanding of what the frequencies could manage from lows to highs if you were looking to test a good range of the human ear. The problems you would face are who's the receiver, how good the signal is, how far away from the radio the person is seated, how good quality the radio and their speakers are. Are they wearing headphones? Is it across a big room? Is it going to be busy? Are they alone? That would be the hardest part.
Do you think it's possible to develop a hearing test for the radio that's effective?
I don't think you can actually do one as it stands at the moment to be effective, as in to give you conclusive results. It's just purely to tell whether, give you an indication whether you have a loss or not. I mean, it would be possible to play certain frequencies, and I'll show you those later, but certain frequencies over the radio, starting off at various levels and then reducing that to the point of where the person tells you whether they can hear that sound or not. And then obviously from what you get from there roughly, then you can sort of get an indication of whether there is a loss there or not.
So it could be used to identify a problem, but not a complete hearing test.
Diagnostically, not as it stands at the present time.
The test is based on an algorithm developed over several years and validated by a panel of experts on hundreds of patients. The home hearing test is user-friendly. Results are confidential. The home hearing test achieves the same level of accuracy as a test from the audiologist's office or medical clinic.
Very, very difficult to achieve based on how widely variant stereos and radios can be. If you have a very, very good and expensive stereo for listening to radio, then it would be excellent. If you have a poor tranny in your kitchen, it would be something vastly, vastly inferior. Is nowhere near as accurate as a industry standard TDH-39 headphone in a soundproofed booth with a calibrated audiometer. These things have such wide calibration and tolerance differences that it would be almost impossible to standardise effectively.
Results from the home hearing test are accurate when taken in a quiet area. The home hearing test does not identify the cause of hearing loss or determine what the treatment should be. If results are not normal, a hearing check from a licensed hearing professional is recommended.
Calibration. First, we need you to adjust your radio's volume level to match a known reference. Here is the trick. Rub your hands together in front of your nose quickly and firmly, and try producing the same sound as our calibration noise. You are now generating a reference sound that is approximately 65 decibels. As the calibration sound plays repeatedly, adjust your radio's volume to match the sound level you just heard from your hands. It is recommended that you remove your headphones to compare the volumes. Proceed back and forth, preferably with your eyes closed to increase concentration, until both levels match. Then do not touch your radio's volume knob anymore. Calibration is completed. Your radio's volume knob has been set to match 65 decibels sound pressure level. This procedure should give us confidence of accuracy within a range of approximately 10 decibels in the following hearing tests.
The digits 825, the digits 562, the digits 683, the digits 203, the digits 501, the digits 501. And so the sugar when gave how to the whole sugar free is that of look at me tell a sugar to wrapped to dissolve. Shack and muhring colte can it than the other. Pinning the dogs, but on it a la feeling with war, la be simplified than not for it. What it be most how to could. Finally, that's a la quida, the hulter man. Nay, the mash of their unique well intent.
Piggy. On rainy days, people say, what a dull gray day. Cover the sun, the whole world seems dull and gray. The sky, the water in the rivers and lakes looks brown and muddy. The grass is dark, dull green, even the flowers.
People say, what a dull gray day. When clouds cover the sun, the whole world seems dull and gray. The water in the rivers and lakes looks brown and muddy. The grass is a dark, dull green, and pale and faded. As the sun shines more, the colors become brighter. Red oak leaves, goldenrod, vegetables in the market, green taxis, all sing their colors to the sunny world. The world is full of color. The sunlight has many colors in it.
Tones are presented in the same frequency range as most hearing tests. Respond to all tones, regarding softest ones.
Are you turning the TV or radio
so loud? Family members or neighbors can join the words.
Thinking everyone around you is mobile and asking how to share the people of the world.
Choose the numbers 3, 2, 4. Choose the numbers 7, 5, 2.
1. Audiometric hearing test.
Hello, this is Cleo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA.
Hearing loss can affect anyone at any age due to heredity, medical conditions, or loud noise exposure. However, as we get older, we naturally become more susceptible to hearing loss because of changes to the delicate mechanics of our ears. This simple screening will help you identify a potential hearing problem. Audiologists are interested in frequencies that are important for clear understanding of speech, not the frequencies that make high-fidelity audio recordings enjoyable. Their target frequencies reside in the 125 to 8,000 Hz range, and generally not above that. This hearing test assesses that same frequency range. In a quiet environment, listen to this series of test tones. Each frequency will begin quietly and gradually become louder. We will test your left ear first, so in the right speaker you will hear a voice counting from 0 to 80 in steps of 10. This is the volume of the tone in decibels. Make a note of the number you hear as the tone comes into your range of hearing. As soon as you hear the tone, note down the number. When the tone becomes audible, your hearing threshold level has been reached.
125 Hz, 0 decibels, 10 decibels, 20 decibels, 30 decibels, 40 decibels, 50 decibels, 60 decibels, 70 decibels, 80 decibels, 250 hertz, 0 decibels, 10 decibels, 20 decibels, 30 decibels, 40 decibels, 50 decibels, 60 decibels, 70 decibels, 80 decibels. 500 hertz. 0 decibels. 10 decibels. 20 decibels. 30 decibels. 40 decibels. 50 decibels. 60 decibels. 70 decibels. 80 decibels. 1000 hertz. 0 decibels. 10 decibels. 20 decibels. 30 decibels. 40 decibels. 50 decibels. 60 decibels. 70 decibels. 80 decibels. 2000 hertz. 0 decibels. 10 decibels. 20 decibels. 30 decibels. 40 decibels. 50 decibels. 60 decibels. 70 decibels. 80 decibels. 4000 hertz. 0 decibels. 10 decibels. 20 decibels. 30 decibels. 40 decibels. 50 decibels. 60 decibels. 70 decibels. 80 decibels. 8000 hertz. 0 decibels. 10 decibels. 20 decibels. 30 decibels. 40 decibels. 50 decibels. 60 decibels. 70 decibels. 80 decibels.
50 hertz. If someone has deteriorated hearing as a factor of age, it's the high frequencies that traditionally are first to go. So the treble then ends up harder to hear than the bass. So the world seems bass heavy. So the intelligibility goes down. The two sentences, a dreadful smell of leather and a dreadful spell of weather, only change by a few meaning-bearing consonants. And because consonants are treble-biased, people's articulation scores go down. So it feels bass-heavy, it's not as intelligible, they're perfectly aware of who's talking, they can tell from which direction they're talking, but they haven't made out the sentence correct.
Interpret your results as follows. If you're able to first hear the tones at 0 to 10 decibels, you have normal hearing. At 20 to 30 decibels, you may have mild hearing loss. At 40 to 60 decibels, you may have a moderate loss. At 70 to 80 decibels, you may have severe hearing loss. If you have trouble hearing any of the tones in the higher range, we advise that you confirm these results by visiting an audiologist. On next week's programme, we'll test the right ear, so remember to keep your results for comparison. Two. Speech in noise test. The speech in noise test simulates a noisy setting to see how well you can focus on speech and filter out noise. Your reactions will indicate whether you are beginning to experience the loss of hearing clarity that so many people encounter as they get older. During the exercise, the levels of background noise will increase to test how much noise you can handle before losing your focus on the speech. Make a note of the number you hear at the point you can no longer distinguish the words or numbers.
The digits 8, 2, 5. The digits 5, 2. The digits 6, 8, 3. The digits 2, 0, 3. The digits 5, 0, 1. Comb, lead, egg, ear, digits, leaf, ear, ring, digits, comb, egg,
the digits, 6, 9, 8,
tree,
the digits, 4, 1, 2,
foot,
the digits, 6, 3, 7, the digits 5, 7, 2. The digits 4, 1, 3. The digits 8, 3, 1.
What you actually find in the nerve of the ear, in the cochlea, is of all the thousands of hairs that are there, the hairs that respond to high frequency, quite tall and thin. And hairs that respond to low frequencies are shorter and stouter. So again, a sound wave travelling over those hairs is a bit just like wind travelling over trees or bushes. Over a period of time from those hairs swaying, the hairs that are going to get damaged easiest and going to get damaged first are the tallest, thinnest ones. They're going to buckle basically and start to lean. That is how the ear has been designed. Incorrectly, badly, all that you want to do, but so it's always those high frequency hairs that go first.
6, 9, 0. Seven.
Two.
Eight.
Three.
Seven.
One. Two.
Six.
Three.
Zero.
One.
One.
Two. Three. One. Two. Three. One. Two. Three. One. Two. Three. One. Two. Three. One. Two. Three.
Five.
One,
nine,
two, three.
Four.
One, two, three.
Seven, eight.
3. Self-assessment hearing test. The onset of hearing loss is usually very gradual. It may take place over 25 to 30 years, or it may happen more rapidly if you're exposed to loud noises at work or through hobbies. Because it usually does occur slowly, you may not even be aware you have a problem until somebody else brings it to your attention. Here is a simple test you can take to determine if you have a hearing problem. Make a note of how many yes answers apply to your hearing. 1. Do you have to turn the volume up on the television? 2. Do you frequently have to ask others to repeat what they are saying? 3. Do you have difficulty understanding when in groups or in noisy situations? 4. Do you have to sit up front in meetings or in church in order to understand? 5. Do you have difficulty understanding women or young children? 6. Do you have trouble knowing where sounds are coming from? 7. Are you unable to understand when someone talks to you from another room? 8. Have others told you that you don't seem to hear them? 9. Do you avoid family meetings or social situations because you can't understand? 10. Do you have ringing or other noises, also known as tinnitus, in your ears? Scoring. If you answered yes to less than 3 of the questions, then no significant hearing loss seems to be present. If you answered yes to between 3 and 5 questions, you may have a slight hearing problem. If you answered yes to between 5 and 7 questions, you may have a moderate hearing problem. If you answered yes to over 7 questions, you may have a significant hearing problem. 4. Mosquito tone audibility test. Frequency-wise, our hearing ability ranges from 20 Hz up to 20,000 Hz. As we get older, the 20 kHz upper limit decreases. This phenomenon is medically known as presbycusis. Therefore, it is possible to generate high frequencies that are audible only to teenagers. Since these high-pitched sounds are uncomfortable to withstand, they can be used, for example, to repel loitering teenagers in the street. Listen now to a steady sine tone at 17.4 kHz and its modulated version, oscillating between 17 and 20 kHz at 3 times per second. The pips indicate that the sound is about to play. If you are able to hear either of these 2 mosquito sounds, you will be repelled by security products like the mosquito. Lucky you! This means either that you are young or your ears are still in very good condition.
I don't actually hear it myself, but basically they've got a button that they hold. So every time that they hear a tone presented, they press that, and then I get a light on my screen. Then you'll see where it says response there. That will light up. I mean, there you are. See, we're doing the right ear. Oh, it's set on the right ear at the moment. So as I do that, that's telling me that I'm presenting the tone. It's only 0 decibels at the moment. But that's showing me that I'm presenting the tone. And as I said, then when they press the button, the response area will light up yellow. Let's say we always start. Thank you.
5. Tinnitus simulations. If, in quiet moments, you sometimes hear sounds similar to these, sounds that are not coming from an external source and that nobody else can hear, then you may have tinnitus. Tinnitus is a medical term to describe the perception of noise either in one ear, both ears, or in the head, when there is no corresponding external sound. Most people with tinnitus describe it as a ringing sound, but it can vary from person to person. You may hear it as a buzzing, whistling, humming, whooshing, or hissing sound.
People just describe it differently. Some say it's high pitch, some say it's low pitch. Some say that it's like a cow coming to the water, others say it's like somebody mowing the grass. Some say it's like a car going past it.
High pitched hiss, high pitched whistle. Ocean noises, whooshing, shushing, back and forth. Mine is very, very high pitched whistle with a hiss over and above it. So it's almost like a steam train where you have the boiler hiss and the whistle over and above it. So it's very, very like an old-fashioned locomotive with a whistle and then the hiss.
People, I mean, again, the latest figures, the people with hearing loss is 6 out of 10 people have tinnitus, and the people with
These simulations of tinnitus and somatic sounds, that is body sounds, were made by Jonathan Hazel on an EMS music synthesizer.
It is usually linked to problems affecting the hearing pathway. The other kind is objective tinnitus. In a few rare cases, the tinnitus sounds can be heard by other people too, such as a doctor listening through a stethoscope placed near your ear. This is usually caused by a physical problem that produces sound, such as the narrowing of blood vessels in your ear. There are ways of managing your tinnitus. Speak to a healthcare professional to find the right solution for you.
Different noises that are environmental, non-stressful, non-intrusive and quite relaxing. I can show you some examples of those sounds. You play the noise by your bedside, leave it running all night, and if you become awake, the tinnitus isn't the first, only thing. Seven examples of different types of noise for people to dominate their environment rather than listening to their tinnitus with little else. The vast majority of people I've found play the rain. If you have lived in the west of Scotland for any length of time, you are easily capable of falling asleep to rain. So the rain has very little time signatures, there's no gaps. It's very low level, it's an easy listen, and if you've ever slept in Scotland, you know fine well that you can sleep through rain, because it's an unattractive but calming and environmental sound. It tends to be the most successful. People are left to pick their favourites. So it's easier to have a rain sound on, for me, to listen to rather than a completely bereft room.
even in a quiet environment, if somebody's wearing a hearing aid, they are less aware of the tinnitus, because again, the hearing aid itself is picking up environmental sounds, and those environmental sounds keep the brain occupied, so the person becomes less aware of the tinnitus. I mean, people who suffer from tinnitus will always tell you, all the time I most hear it is when it's very quiet, when they're in bed. They say, when I'm in town or I'm working, I don't notice it as much. And that's just because there are other sounds keeping the brain preoccupied. So I would say by wearing a hearing aid, but being able to pick up those other environmental sounds.
Tinnitus can be managed in a number of ways if there's an associated hearing loss. Make sure they are aided, make sure they can hear, make sure they're aided to the best of their abilities. If you make the world louder, clearer, sharper, you thereby mask the tinnitus with the environment. Hence it's called environmental masking. You can also use white noise generators, which produce certain types of sound. Most tinnitus masking noises are described in coloured noise, pink noise, white noise, brown noise, and you use various different instruments to present a noise alongside the tinnitus, thereby masking it again. I use a desk fan, a 10-inch desk fan that just presents an air current sound in the room that I sleep in all the time. Take it on holiday as well. Very calming, very relaxing, and because there's no gaps in the sound quality, it doesn't wake you and you don't become awake to a gap or to a time signature.
Six, temporal perception filter test. In a moment, you will hear a series of electronic pips, firstly in the left speaker, and then in the right, like this. Now, with longer sequences, listen with particular care to the intervals between the pips. If the pips become closer together or further apart, make a note of this and write down which ear or if both ears are affected. Here is the left. And now the right. Differences in the intervals between these sounds could be an indicator that the temporal perception filter in your inner ear has become misaligned and may be in need of recalibration. This is a surprisingly common condition, and thankfully, there's a simple procedure that can be carried out by your audiologist to correct it. It's really nothing to worry about at all, but you should get it checked out as soon as possible. Make an appointment today.
When a hearing aid wearer has a hearing loss, the hearing aid must be tailor-fitted to their particular type and shape of hearing diagram. The ISTS, or ISTS, is the International Speech Test Signal, made up of multiple languages recorded over and over again, melded together. When hearing aid wearers are interested in the world, communication is primarily what we're after. So that ISTS doesn't have to have any meaning-bearing significance for their particular language, and it means that an audiologist can then tailor-fit anyone regardless of where they come from.
It'll be coming out of the red side, but if I press the button now. You should be getting that coming through the headphones there. At 1,000, that would be quite loud. I mean, you'd hear that no problem at all with normal hearing.
Seven, selective auditory attention. Do you sometimes find that you are unable to hear the things you don't wish to hear? Are you deaf to nagging, criticism, and requests for help with the household chores? Do others tell you you hear only what you like to hear? If so, you may be suffering from selective auditory attention, or selective hearing, as it is more commonly known, a condition that affects millions. However, do not worry. Selective hearing is not a physiological disorder, but rather the capability we all have of blocking out unwanted sounds and noise. Our mind hears rewards almost all the time, but it filters out the undesirable auditory information about chores and irksome tasks.
This is an audiological test, and it's for competing speaker. When you hear a person, in a background noise, the hardest type of background noise to have a conversation in is the background noise of other people's conversations. So we can test people's ability by hearing against competing speakers. So there's a speech in noise test where the tester asks the client, repeat back what you've heard from the American speaker in the foreground. As each sentence goes by, the background noise gets louder and louder and louder, so it becomes harder and harder and harder and less intelligible. So this is an example of how the speech in noise test is performed. Over the course of the six sentences, the background noise creeps up in 5 decibel steps. So they start out in the background, definitely in the background, and as the volume creeps up, they become very, very, very much louder, to the point of exactly the same volume as the speaker that you are supposed to be creeping up, as the noise is creeping up.
8. Competing voices test. The competing voices test simulates a social setting to see how well you can focus on the speech of the person who is the focus of your listening and filter out all other voices. Listen carefully and count the pips up to the point that you can no longer distinguish what is being said by the foreground voice.
The geese fly south in the winter.
Has gone to
Doris has her ingredients for sauce. On its first sail, the yacht sprung a leak. I dunk crackers in caviar. A small car is no good in heavy industry. On its first sail, the yacht sprung a leak. The corner we are eyeing cats make good pets. Long lost past mongrel on soft earth.
Legislative body funds
nighttime abdominal wound.
Communications suffer.
Should not
great
crackers.
If you could hear the voice only as far as the fourth pip or less, you may have some mild hearing loss that is making it difficult for you to hear in noisy situations.
We all like to think we are sleek, smooth, working machines, but time takes its toll on all of us, and we can sometimes need a helping hand. A personal MOT, if you like. As we get older, some of us might experience hearing loss. For many, this can be frightening. For others, a case of just putting up with it.
And placing some small sticky pads on the infant's head, and then placing a new lock on each ear.
9. Spatial reversal syndrome. Listen carefully to the next sound. Did the sound pass from left to right or right to left? Listen again. If you hear the sound pass from left to right, you may have your speakers wired incorrectly, your headphones on the wrong way round, or your ears may be on back to front. I'm joking, of course, but actually there is a rare condition that can cause difficulties with spatial awareness. Sufferers of spatial reversal syndrome, also known as Detmer's proxy, are particularly susceptible to this type of stereo illusion. The auditory input from the left ear is linked to the right side of the brain and vice versa, almost like crossed wires in electrical equipment. In everyday life, those with the condition are unlikely to encounter situations where it would cause any serious problems. Long-term sufferers are often able to automatically reverse this information without even thinking about it, which is one of the reasons it often goes undiagnosed. A good analogy would be that it is akin to looking in a mirror for so long that you intuitively begin to understand the reversal in the reflection to such a degree that you are no longer consciously aware of it. Ten. Uncomfortable level test.
That's a condition which nobody really knows what causes it, but what's actually happening is that the brain is telling itself that the sound they're listening to is actually a lot louder than what it actually is.
If the sound you just heard caused you to start or feel alarm, you may be one of the many thousands of people who have an excessive sensitivity to sound. Please rate each of the following sounds using this scale from 1 to 7. Make a note on your pad. The loudness categories are 7, uncomfortably loud. 6, loud but okay. 5, comfortable but slightly loud. 4, comfortable. 3, comfortable but slightly soft. 2, soft. And 1, very soft.
Sound 1. Sound 2. Sound 3. Sound 5. Sound Sound 6.
If you scored consistently high, 6 or over, you may have extreme hearing sensitivity. This is nothing to worry about, but it may warrant further investigation.
All of a sudden I've started getting dizzy spells and nausea attacks and falling over, and I've just suddenly, over the last week, suddenly started getting horrendous tinnitus, which is the person should easily be able to tolerate between anywhere between 90 and 120 decibels of sound. But sometimes you can get to levels a lot less than that, and literally the person will jump out of this. It's just purely down to the fact that we live in a noisier world. Over the last 40, 50 years, there's been so many changes in our lifestyles. Even when you go to shops and you've got the old pipe music, more traffic noise, there's more planes flying overhead. In the kitchens, you've got your microwaves buzzing and pinging, and your ovens and the television going. Obviously, with children, kids these days, as well, teenagers, even hot adults, there's the wearing of the earphones for the music players, iPods, and so on.
This concludes the over-the-air hearing test. We hope you have found this exercise useful and informative. This over-the-air hearing test is for informational purposes only and is not intended for diagnostic evaluation. A radio hearing test is no substitute for a complete examination by a qualified hearing care professional. This programme was sponsored by the EU Society of Audiologists, the Scottish Institute of Sonology, the Associated Alliance of Hearing Aid Manufacturers, Creative Scotland and Wavefarm. Special thanks to audiologists Peter Doody and Ian Rogers. Audiology for Beginners was produced by Mark Vernon and is a Meagre Resource production.